Tony Blair is spending this weekend as the guest of George Bush at Camp David, an ominous visit for those opposed to military action in Iraq, and the latest example of the British Prime Minister's willingness since September the 11th to stand side by side with the American President. But there's nothing new about the Blair-Bush alliance, according to the journalist Clifford Longley. It's just the latest episode in a centuries-old special relationship. So why do the British and Americans so often stand shoulder to shoulder? Clifford Longley's new book is entitled Chosen People, The Big Idea That Shapes England and America, and he joins me now from our Kent studio. Good morning, Clifford.
Good morning.
Clifford, what is the big idea that shapes England and America?
The big idea in the 16th century and 17th century was that England had a special mission from God as the leading Protestant nation to spread Protestant civilization and to resist the power of Rome. This was spread across the Atlantic in the early Puritan settlements in New England and became the founding ideology of the new American Republic in the 18th century. Very much a sense that God had given this Anglo-Saxon tribe this vast tract of wilderness to inhabit from sea to shining sea, a manifest destiny, if you like, to be the world's leading power.
What are the particular religious themes behind that? I think you call it American exceptionalism.
Yes, indeed.
What are the themes behind that?
Well, it goes back to the idea that you can model English history and then subsequently American history on the history of the ancient Israelis after the exodus from captivity in Egypt, which the Americans were parallel to the overthrow of British rule in the American War of Independence of 1776 and all that. So that there is a strong guiding idea that the reenactment is taking place of a lot of the events. The technical term for this is typology, so that you can read from the pages of the Old Testament to modern events, and you can discover not only what happened, but also what you ought to do next.
Clifford, this will sound awfully awfully common to a Northern Irish audience. I'm not sure if we've moved on from the Protestant well, typography you're describing.
Funny, I make the point in the book that the one part of the British nation which has kept what was in fact a universal national identity until probably sometime in the 20th century is Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland Protestantism, where there is still that sense of a God-given purpose. And I must say, an awful lot of English commentators completely failed to detect that this is underlying a great deal of the way in which Northern Ireland Protestants think about the world.
What's interesting as we hear George Bush and other American politicians making speeches is their comfortable way with religious language. That's also an aspect of this exceptionalism that you flag
up.
It
is. There's a paradox because superficially we're told America is a secular society with a secular constitution. In fact, it has its own religion. And some of them call this American exceptionalism, some of them call it just Americanism. And I think it ought to be regarded as a variety of Protestantism. In other words, it ought to be given its own status as one more way of being a Protestant. It's an American nationalism turned into a national church, a national identity. So that they talk about the separation of church and state. In fact, they have the complete opposite. They have almost a synthesis of church and state.
So George Bush is the pastor in chief.
Yes, indeed, very much so. And you can see that when Americans look to their president, they look to him in religious terms as well as in political and secular terms. And they expect him to set a religious tone to the nation as well as a political and secular tone.
Well, by contrast, British politicians seem to shy away from biblical or religious language.
Very much so. Tony Blair is extremely shy about referring to his own quite deep religious convictions. It's very unfashionable for English political conversation to drag this up. I mean, the point's been made by columnists in newspapers from time to time that 2.5 of the leaders of British political parties are Roman Catholic. I must say Kennedy, Duncan Smith, and if you count Blair as half, if you see what I mean. But this is, if you like, absolutely regarded as their private business, having no bearing on public policy at all. That is a complete revolution from the way things would have seemed to the English 100 years ago.
Do you think a recognition of Americanism or American exceptionalism can help explain perhaps America's apparent willingness to go it alone internationally.
Very much so. It is. I think it is a key factor to understand America, to see that that's where it's coming from. It gives it a number of outlooks on the world, including that if necessary, they must act alone because they don't require international endorsement, because they've got this special mission straight from on high, as it were. They see themselves as superior to the United Nations. I mean, they might politically think to get the United Nations on side is good, but they have, if you like, a hot line which tells them what they have to do. It also means the world's a very black and white place, if you'll excuse the expression. In other words, good and evil. It's like that cowboys and Indians. It's red, black hats and white hats. There are very few shades of grey in the view of the world that comes from this particular direction.
I suppose it could go both ways. On the one hand, it might be political isolation. On the other hand, it might be a standalone prophetic role in the world.
Well, you see, we have, the rest of the world has benefited from this. So we can't just retreat it as something that we can turn our backs on and disparage. There's no doubt that one of the reasons why America stood up against communism for so long, and indeed ultimately saw it off, was because of this sense of mission. And we all benefited from that. On the other hand, there's no doubt also that one of the reasons why we are heading towards war in Iraq is from the same sort of reason, and I think I and very many people have extremely mixed feelings about what we see going on there.
Where do you see a sense of that chosenness on the agenda, or between the lines of the agenda at Camp David this weekend?
Well, you see, because we don't talk about religion in this country anything like the way they do in America, we don't really know what Blair makes of this. But I have a sneaking suspicion, I think I might even say a sneaking fear. He himself does also see America rather in these millennial terms. He, I think, accepts Americans' moral leadership, and part of why he does so is for his own reasons of his own religious belief. So, if you like, England has surrendered the political superpower role, but also the divine mission idea, but hasn't just given up, walked away from it. There are some who think that it's transferred across the Atlantic to America.
Well, Clifford Longley, fascinating as ever, but there we must leave it. Clifford Longley's book, Chosen People, The Big Idea That Shapes England and America, is published by Hodder and Stoughton at £16 hardback. Now, this month marks the end of